It's Wednesday, February 7th, and you're tuned in to the TNIB podcast. I'm Vince.
I'm Anthony.
And this is the Geek Chic Culture Show, where we talk about all the cool things in the whole wide world. It is another week. We're coming back to you again, like regular routine. Mm-hmm. And we got stuff to talk about, like every week.
Like every week?
Every week. I gotta ask you, Anthony, did you watch The Bowl?
I did not.
You didn't watch the big game?
I did not. I instead watched something else, which I will talk about.
Interesting. Your father wasn't disappointed that you
didn't watch the game? I was in North York. I was away from the house.
Yeah, but he didn't call you and be like, son.
Son.
The game.
He doesn't care. The Cowboys aren't in it.
Oh, that's true.
The only thing he didn't want was the Patriots to win, but they won. Because now they're tied with Dallas for Super Bowls.
Oh, like most ever?
Yeah. Not most ever. The Pittsburgh Steelers have the most ever.
Oh. Yeah.
But they're still tied. And now he's like, New England. I hate New England. They suck.
Oh.
Because New England and Dallas are one of those teams where either you absolutely love them or you despise them with every fiber of your being. There's right. No in between for those two teams.
Okay.
And so because he's a Cowboys fan.
Yeah.
He's just a Dallas fan. I want them to lose.
I see. I see what you're saying. All right.
But I heard the comebacks were real.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I heard that OT was something else.
Was it Funimation posted on Twitter? Am I watching a real life Super Bowl game or an anime? And it was a gif of iShield 21, and I was like, man. So yeah, because I heard they were down like 20 plus points going into the fourth or whatever.
Yeah, so I just heard, like, I was flipping through channels, and it was like there were single digits to like 27 or something. Mm. And then my show was over, so I was flipping through again. I'm like, what the fuck? Yeah. What just happened? Yeah. But it was nuts. But like tradition suggests, the reason the mainstream media watches the Super Bowl are for the commercials.
Yep.
But lately, in the past couple of years, they've been showing off the commercials early.
Yeah, there's a Nintendo Switch came out with their halftime mm-hmm. commercial early. Mm-hmm. A lot of stuff, a lot of people have been doing it.
Yeah, and I think the reasoning is, hey, guess what? The commercials are still going to play. And the people who are watching them online first probably weren't going to watch the game anyway.
Exactly.
So they're still getting everything they need for their marketing and whatnot. And one of the things that they showed off in the Super Bowl was the Stranger Things Season 2 trailer.
Man.
And it's looking like more Stranger Things.
Our best TV show of
last year. Of that's last right. Year. Yeah, we did vote Stranger Things as
also, was it our best thing of last
I
year?
I believe it was. Yeah. So I guess we are the most qualified to be the most excited about
exactly.
this. Exactly. And it's looking pretty hot. It's going to come out Halloween, which seems like ages away.
You know, right? And it's like, what? I just want it now. I
need because,
it
like,
in my life.
I associate Halloween with, like, cold weather.
Yeah.
And I'm just like, Anthony, we're still in the cold weather.
Yeah, it's fantastic. I love it.
And so, but that means that we have to still go through all the hot weather.
Man, hot weather sucks.
Which feels like a year away.
Can't we just skip the hot weather?
No, I like the hot weather. It's awesome. So that's great, but it looks good. It seems like they're going for larger scale.
Yeah, so, like exponentially larger scales.
Yeah, and I guess they should because I mean, hey, the show's a huge success.
Plus, that ending kind of calls for it.
Yeah, they kind of have to.
Yeah,
yeah. With the well,
yeah. Okay, we won't say, but
yeah. But that ending, yeah, definitely deserves it. So that's super neat to see. And then Netflix, while we're on topic of Netflix, they showed off another, not quite as anticipated, but still pretty exciting. They showed off the first trailer for the last Marvel show that they have planned, and that is Iron Fist, mm-hmm. Danny Rand. I don't know much about Iron Fist.
He's a kung fu dude.
Yeah, that's what I know.
In Marvel vs. Capcom 3, his launcher doesn't hit characters that are in the air.
In MVC 3, is his costume green and yellow?
Yeah.
Okay,
he's got the classic.
Yeah, okay. With the dragon thing?
Yeah. Oh. His moveset was really cool. I like that guy.
Yeah, he's a monk.
Yeah. He punches dudes with flaming fists.
Yeah, he's pretty neat. The show looks like another Marvel.
To be honest, like it wasn't anything that I'm like, oh man, that looks awesome.
Yeah.
It looks like, oh man, that's a Marvel TV show.
Yeah, for sure. I will say it definitely seems to have a different sort of vibe going for it, or at least closer to Daredevil.
Okay.
Whereas Jessica Jones seemed more like this one-woman independent mission, and Luke Cage was get defunct, though. And
you gotta get that funk.
Yeah, this one is more about. You said we were watching, like, it reminds you of Arrow, and I'm like, oh yeah, it does.
Right, so. It's like rich guy lost in some sort of crash, goes back to the corporation.
Yeah,
and then someone else has the corporation, and they're like, this is my corporation.
Yeah, so I mean, that's a thing. But no, it looks like fun. I'll watch it. But yeah, I think it's because these shows have taken so long to come out in between one another. I've slowly like dwindled on the hype.
Okay, that's fair.
But yeah, because we've had two seasons of Daredevil now, right? So,
oh yeah, we have.
So I feel like where was this show?
And the second season of Daredevil, though. Oof.
With the Punisher?
Yeah, that part with the Punisher, though.
You mean all the parts of the Punisher?
All the parts of the Punisher,
yeah.
Though.
Yeah, that's really good. And then finally, my last trailer is probably the most important one.
Tell me all about it.
Yo, Jack is back. And by Jack, I mean Samurai Jack.
I was going to say, new Tekken?
No. I mean Samurai Jack, you know, that awesome cartoon that you remember from a kid, made by the guys who also did Powerpuff Girls, Samurai Jack.
Those guys made a lot of good cartoons.
They made probably all the best cartoons.
Yeah, I preferred Powerpuff Girls over Samurai Jack at the time, but now going back, like as an adult, I think I prefer Samurai Jack over Powerpuff Girls.
I'm 100% with you.
Yeah.
As a kid, I Jack was the thing I watched because, like, oh, he's a cool, badass samurai in the future. But it wasn't. But it was like, and this is just part of my Saturday morning lineup. Whereas Powerpuff Girls was like, oh, shit, I'm waking up to watch Powerpuff Girls.
Similar to me, but my examples for that were, like, I watched Samurai Jack because my cooler, older cousins watched it. In the same way I pretended to understand Daria as a kid. And I'd be like, yo, I totally get her dry, almost British sense of humor. Yeah. Ha ha.
Yeah.
Ha.
I get
please
you.
Please think I'm cool.
I get you. But, yeah, no, I got to go back through Samurai Jack, though, because the trailer clearly says season 5. And I'm just like, what the fuck was season 1, 2, 3, and 4?
So what you're saying is...
What?
Viewing party.
Oh, God. For four seasons
of Samurai Jack? Four seasons of Samurai Jack. What are we doing?
We'll never get through that.
We'll do it.
Oh, God.
Okay. We can do it.
So, yeah,
Season Jack. A week.
Wow. So the thing about Samurai Jack is he's got a beard.
Yeah, he's looking baller.
And he's not wearing the classic white.
Yeah, he's all kind of broken down. Also, the trailer has mentioned that time has stopped for Jack.
Yeah.
Because he's living outside of his time zone, apparently. Like, he doesn't age anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And he's kind of, like, on the edge of a mental breakdown. Like, he's seeing images of himself yelling at him.
Yeah.
And stuff.
He also pulled out, like, a minigun.
Yeah.
So, what? Some sister ninjas are out to kill him.
It reminded me of, you ever play Hitman Absolution?
Nope.
Oh, okay. Well, they have Hitman has or Agent 47 has a bunch of like killer nuns come after him.
Is Absolution the most recent one?
No, that's Hitman is just Hitman. Okay. It's Hitman 2017 or 2016. Absolution was the one on the PS3.
Okay.
Yeah.
I see.
It reminded me of that.
Yeah. But yeah, no, Samurai Jack, pretty cool.
I really like that show. Like going, like having gone back to and watching like a lot of key episodes of Samurai Jack. That show. Like I was watching that ahead of my time. Like I was like, that was a show I should have appreciated only as like an adult.
Yeah. Right?
Where like me watching that as a kid, I'm like, oh cool, like
blood.
Yeah. And a sword.
Yeah.
Swords are cool.
Mm-hmm.
But like other than that, a lot of their more like kind of deeper meaning episodes, like way lost over your head, on me, right?
Way over my head. I think that's why I preferred Powerpuff.
Yeah.
It was just easier to understand and it was a bit more.
The mayor had a sexy assistant.
Yeah. It worked.
Satan was a crab called him.
Yep. Did they? That Powerpuff had the red phone?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So there you go. Rowdy Rough Boys.
Yeah, and they're the Rowdy Rough Boys.
Yeah.
And then their phone connected to their school, and they always busted out the roof of the school.
Yeah. So yeah, Samurai Jack's cool. We're hyped for it. Can't wait till it comes back March 11th.
Man, the Rowdy Rough Boys.
Yeah, March 11th. Oh, yeah, and Iron Fist is March 17th if you needed that information.
Exactly.
But those are my picks.
My picks, I got a couple.
Tell me
so
all about
one
it.
Is a PSA. Just so you know, in the new PS4 firmware update, version 4.5, they have finally added external hard drive support.
Yay.
So like the Xbox One and like the Wii U, if you have a... if a not a like a regular laptop drive where it powers off a USB,
Yeah.
But if you have like a desktop drive that powers off of its own external supply source.
Oh, so you still need another power source for it?
Yeah.
Oh.
At least that's, I know for sure that's the safest way to do it.
For sure.
Yeah. You can now add up to, I think it was like 4 terabytes.
I thought it was 8.
Was it 8?
I think it's 8.
Okay. Then 4 to 8 terabytes of extra storage without having to buy an internal drive, which is awesome.
It is very cool.
As someone whose hard drive had just crapped out on him and had to reformat the whole thing, I kind of wish it came a little sooner. So I could have backed it up to that drive.
I forgot to ask you, but when your thing did die, how come you just didn't switch it out for an SSD just to see?
Because SSDs are expensive. And I don't have the money.
Okay. All right.
I would have loved to, but I've heard that a lot of the performance stuff is, like, not too noticeable.
I heard in game it's not noticeable, but I heard it makes your menu quick.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I guess installing your OS to an SSD, right?
I heard it makes your menu, like, ultra. Because if there's one thing I don't like my PS4, like, sure, I don't like the menu design, but I don't like the fact that things take forever to load, especially when you have more and more icons on there.
Okay.
Yeah. I read this patch, and external hard drives were cool, but the thing that got me super excited was you can now take a screenshot and set any screenshot to your wallpaper.
Oh, custom wallpapers, yeah.
Yeah, so...
Finally.
I don't have to stick with the shit that's been given to me by PlayStation. Yeah.
Did you know that when you have... I assume you turn menu music off.
Yes.
Yeah, because it's annoying.
Yeah.
Did you know if you have a theme, it changes the menu music?
Yep.
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Huh.
None of them are good.
Yeah, they have a bunch of other stuff like simplified list notifications and like other stuff like that. But custom wallpapers and external hard drives, that's
where it's at.
That's the stuff you're going for.
Yeah.
Another one is from Atlas, our friends who have been delaying Persona.
Mm-hmm.
They have just come out with a new survey. They are asking fans what they would like to see in the future for a Persona 5 title or with stuff to do with the Persona series. So they're asking stuff like, would you like HD remasters of the previous Persona games?
Totally.
Would you like a Persona 3 dancing game like the Persona 4 one?
No.
Would you like a P5 fighting game? Would you like a spin-off of another, like, a P5 like story but set like a FES almost?
Yes.
Right? And the stuff like that. So you can go to, I believe it's Atlas's website. I am reading the story off of Silicon Era, and Silicon Era has a direct link to where you can go.
Yeah.
And you can do their survey for a lot of stuff. The survey, I believe, is in Japanese, but you can Google Translate that page.
Yeah, actually, the questionnaire has ended. Thank you for the many applications.
No! I'm a little late.
Yeah. So there you go.
Well, that totally cancels that story, right?
Was there anything that from there that you wanted, though? Like, that you would, like, say you wanted?
I wanted another rhythm game. I would like to see something in the vein of, like, Theater Rhythm, but for the Persona series.
Mm.
Or for, like, the Shin Megami Tensei series as a whole. Mm-hmm. Just to have, like, here's the best of from each game, and you can play this rhythm game and, like, listen to your favorite tracks and stuff. Because I think the... Even though I love those games a lot, I think my favorite part of the Persona franchise is the music.
Mm-hmm.
Like, again, going all the way back to 3. I was listening to the Persona 3 soundtrack in my car coming here today.
I love that soundtrack.
It's a good soundtrack.
Yeah.
And there's just a lot of other stuff. I would like to see maybe revisiting old characters. Like, maybe in a DLC you could, like, team up with someone from an older game.
Yeah.
And, like, in their city and stuff.
They'd be in college.
Yeah, they'd be in college.
They'd be an adult.
Or be an adult. Oh. Dang.
Damn.
Yeah.
That makes me so sad.
Teenage Nanako.
Oh, that makes me so sad. I would love Persona 3 The Complete Edition.
What do you mean?
Like, I want... Because...
Is that not just Fez?
No.
Or the PSP game?
No, because... The PSP Portable has the ability to pick as a girl.
Yeah.
But they don't put it... They took out all the cutscenes or all the animations.
Oh!
So it's literally a visual novel.
Okay.
But they don't... But the Portable one doesn't have Fez. So this the one that I always recommend people play is Fez.
Yeah.
But Fez, if you... I can't remember if you remember, but Persona 3 has the battle system that's completely AI guided.
Yes. Yeah, all your party members are AI.
Yes, so that's a bit frustrating. So I want one where they just combined everything.
So kind of like Odin's Sphere, like Yggdrasil.
Yes, they just take it all and they
and it's like, here's modernized version. We took all the old shit out.
Here's everything. You play a boy as a girl. Here's all your cutscenes. Here's Fess at the end.
It's all in 1080p 60.
Exactly. You can.
Okay.
Maybe they redrew some art. Maybe they added a new DLC section.
High res penis wagon.
I'm into that.
All right.
Yeah.
But yeah, so hopefully you got in, but.
I didn't.
That sucks, bud.
Yeah.
That sucks.
It's okay. They'll know. They'll do it.
Yeah. My last pick this week is a story that has been making the rounds, at least in my friend circle. But Tish. GameStop has, they haven't announced it, but it has been figured out. Some kind of employees came out and talked to some people at Kotaku about their Circle of Life program. So the Circle of Life program at GameStop measures percentages of sales of used items and pre-orders and stuff like that. So it it covers pre-orders, reward card subscriptions, used game sales, and game trade-ins. Pretty much the things that is almost pure profit for GameStop. And so each of these quotas is based on a store's total transactions. So say your Circle of Life percentage for the week or whatever is 30%, and you sold $1,000 worth of product that week. That means GameStop has expected you to sell $300 worth of pre-owned stuff, subscriptions, and pre-orders and stuff like that.
I see, I see.
Where this has become, I guess, a issue, because on its face that sounds fine, but people are learning that employees have been told to do things like just straight lie to customers about having certain new games in stock. So say you go, say I went to GameStop and I bought, I don't know, the new Tales game or the new Resident Evil 7, right?
You bought Neo.
I bought Neo. Wait, what? Neo? Oh, Neo.
Neo.
I was thinking of the Matrix. I'm like, no. A new Matrix game? And I bought Neo, right? So say I went to GameStop recently, I bought Neo. But that was the only thing I bought. That's... in GameStop's eyes and in that employee's eyes, that's a negative on them because they didn't push anything else on you, like a like a pre-owned game or a subscription or something like that. And so what people have been reported doing is that their like managers or district managers will recommend that they just straight lie to customers and be like, hell, hey, like I wanted to get I think the example they used recently was Watch Dogs 2 was on sale for around like $35 or so. But the used version was still $59.99.
Yeah.
And so even though they would have stuff in stock, they would just tell a customer, sorry, we're sold out, and then sell them nothing and just ship them on their way.
Yeah.
Other things include if you have a membership card, say you have 13,000 points, which is the amount of points you need to renew a pro membership.
Yep.
Even though, say, they have months to renew, they will tell a customer and be like, hey, oh, your thing is expiring soon. You should use your points to expire so that they don't use the points on something else. And it's just more profit for them, right? And a lot of this is anecdotal stuff. There have been people coming out in comments anonymously. I'll pull up a comment that I thought was pretty interesting.
Yeah.
So this was on the Kotaku article, is by a user named Mr. Uppercut. He says that as someone who's just left GameStop, I can say this is all fact. Here is something our district manager instructed us to do. In order to get more pro member renewals, he told us to essentially lie to a customer. If a customer had a rewards card with at least 15,000 points, the amount needed to renew for a renewal with points.
Yeah.
We were instructed to ask them to renew and tell them that their card was expiring soon. In many cases, the customer had months until the card was expired, and he always felt he did a bunch of personal interjection there. And he has a lot of other kind of anecdotal evidence supporting Kotaku's article and stuff. And a lot of people have been coming out about it. But in my business mind, and I'm sure in your business mind, this shouldn't be something that's outrageous.
No.
Right? To me, I think the most surprising thing is that GameStop would rather sell absolutely nothing to someone than to sell a new game. Right? They would rather tell someone, no, that's just not in stock, and sell them nothing than to take at least the sale on a new game, which is a little surprising to me. But you brought up some good points when we were talking about it before.
Oh, yeah. Like, no, like, I don't think that's very... First of all, if you shop at GameStop, I don't think it's too surprising, because I mean, how many times you walk in and they always try to push stuff on you? And I don't mean like recently, I mean like
all the time,
since forever.
100% of the time they do that.
Yeah, so I mean, like, that's not really surprising. If you walk, I mean, and at some point, even though they're not commission based,
yeah,
there are stores out there who still have the same sort of game plan set in mind. Like Best Buy, for example, mm-hmm. they for a while they had like a promotion where they loved to advertise that they're not commissioned. It was like no commission, no pressure.
Yeah,
but at the same time, their numbers still mattered.
Exactly,
and so so you still felt pressured. And I think like I said, it was with game with world moving to digital and whatnot. In video games, I guess the big hit, like corporate over at GameStop, were feeling much more pressure about it, and that's coming down on the employees.
Yeah, and if you look at the GameStop and EB Games here in Canada, mm-hmm. like half their store is now like Funko Pops. Yes. It's like Funko Pops, a lot of hobby stuff, mm-hmm. board games, mm-hmm. plushies, whatever you need.
Right? Honestly, I won't be surprised if like by the end of the year, people are going to be playing Warhammer in like EB Games or GameStop.
Just turns into a games workshop?
Yeah, like, or they're just playing, like, Magic or whatever. Like,
maybe.
Like, they're just doing straight, or Yu-Gi-Oh, you never know.
Like a corporate hobby-grade store or
yeah,
something.
That yeah. just, oh, by the way, yes, we do play the video games if you still like that.
Because, yeah, if I think about it, a lot of those stores, like, they make a lot of money off of card trade-ins yeah. and reselling those cards at whatever the market value is, right? Because yeah. they'll only give you, like, 15% store trade-in value.
Yeah, because they're like, we gotta sell it.
Yeah, because so. We gotta sell it.
Yeah, so...
Which wouldn't be too surprising. That's actually really interesting, mm-hmm. to like an interesting theory.
Yeah.
And also, like, I can say from working in a commission environment, like mm-hmm. when I used to work at Future Shop, mm-hmm. like that, those numbers mattered.
Mm-hmm.
If I just sold someone a video game, there's no overhead on video games. Like yeah. the store makes 80 cents. Like mm-hmm. they make almost like might as well be nothing. Mm-hmm. What you're trying to do is like, get them to get the scratch warranty, get them to buy some wires yeah. or a controller or something,
yeah.
right?
Yeah.
So it's not too surprising, and which is why I see the comments of people who are just like, oh, I'm never going to shop here again. I'm like, well, what's your alternative? Other stores do it too.
Yeah.
Your local hobby store down the road does it too. All they do is sell used games, right?
Yeah.
So I was a little confused on that, but it was it's interesting to see like inside the headquarter mines.
I mean, in my mind, like if you want, like the example they use of like buying a new game, like you want something new.
Yeah.
If you want something new, why are you going there in the first place?
That too.
Like, I mean, yes, they just sell new games, but there's plenty of places just to get a new game.
True.
Right? There's lots of options, so I don't really see the problem there. So, but if, I mean, GameStop and EB Games, like, they have their own little market, and they have their own little way it works, and, like, even though I don't shop there for video games, I still walk in now lately, and, like, I find things I like, or...
Yeah.
It's one of the few places where you can get used stuff just for that extended library catalog.
It's like, oh, yeah, I want a bunch of old PS3 stuff.
Right? Yeah.
Like, a Best Buy's not gonna have that.
Yeah. I will say, I don't think I've ever told the story on... Yeah, I'm pretty sure I have once, but yeah. Okay. I used to work at EB Games. I think it was back in 2009.
Dang!
2010.
In the aughts!
Yeah, so this is a long time ago.
It's about 7 years ago, yeah.
I got hired for a holiday thing. I was on a contract. And okay. They didn't renew my contract. And I remember it's because I met the district manager, and this is when they were starting to really push the $3 guarantee on your games. Like the,
okay.
that. So like the replacement thing.
Yeah.
That and the... membership card, the Edge card.
The Edge card.
And what he would tell me to do is like, listen, when they trade and stuff, just put on the automatic warranty guarantee. Like, just put it on.
Like, without telling them?
Without telling them.
Oh, just, shit.
I was like, no, I'm not going to do that.
Yeah.
And, like, that's their money. Like, that's what it is. Like, they don't see the screen. You get your numbers. And I'm happy. The company's happy.
No, that's literally stealing.
And I was like, no, I don't think I can do that.
Yeah.
And then that plus, I remember one time, like, I didn't push hard enough on it. Like, I said, hey, do you want the warranty? And like, the guy said, no. I was like, okay, that's cool. And he watched me say that. And he's like, you didn't push that. He's like, you didn't even try. And so when it came time for my, like, end of term review, they're like, well, thanks for your help over the holidays.
And, sorry for not being a scumbag, you know?
And that's when they're like, okay, bye. And I was like, well, Shit.
Yeah. I also think that's like what readers have to read. Maybe listeners are listening to this now and read that article and are outraged.
Yeah.
I think you guys have to realize that GameStop is not unique in doing this kind of
thing. No, totally not.
Right?
No.
And like even selling something outside of games. So again, when I worked at Future Shop, I sold laptops, right? And I never got renewed after holidays, period, because my employer would always say, your volume is great, but the quality of your sales is garbage because I didn't push on like these insane warranties that I knew people didn't need. Mm-hmm. Right. So I would ask it out of obligation to the company. But if they said no, I would just be like, okay, yeah, no problem. If you want, you can come back and get it. Right. Yeah. And people looked at me like I was crazy, like other workers, like, why don't you want that extra commission or whatever? But in my mind, it was always like, well, this person's going to come back to me and buy more stuff.
Yeah.
Right. So why push them on one sale and drive them out?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, yeah. So, it's just like this sort of sales scheme is
sort of sales tactic.
Also. Yeah, it's like it's been around since the dawn of time.
Yeah,
like it's been around forever. Like whenever you buy a cell phone, like they're the worst for it.
Oh yeah, 100%.
So I mean, like it's just now it's just more visible in the video game world, and like. Yeah. Big deal.
It's one of those things. I think this article is gaining traction because it's one of those things where something people thought was like innocent. Not really innocent has finally come to light, right? Yeah. And it's like, oh no, there is shade behind the curtain.
Yeah.
And like these people are all business evil people, right? But it's nothing that is out of the norm that people haven't been doing for years. And in other forms, people are somewhat worse. Again, like cell phones or if you're into trading cards and stuff like that.
For sure.
Yeah.
Yep.
I just thought that was a really interesting article to talk about because I thought we would have a different perspective. So.
Mm-hmm.
But those have been my picks. Those are all of them.
Cool. That was a lot of discussion for one podcast. Let's move on to our weeks.
You want to start? You want me to start?
Yeah, I'll start off.
All right, go for it.
So last week I talked about the show called Alone.
Okay.
I finished season one.
Yep.
It was fantastic.
Did someone survive a whole year?
No. So I found it at the end, after the... When it comes down to one guy, they just come and get him.
Mm.
They don't... They just be like... They call him and say, listen, we got to do routine checkup. You've been out here for 2 months.
Yeah.
So we just got to make sure everything's okay. And so they go out there and they're like, listen, you won.
Hey, what's up? You're a winner.
Yeah, so that's how long it lasted. But no, it was a great show because the twist at the end of the first season, slight spoilers, I won't tell you one, but what happens is they tell him he wins and he's like, oh. And he's just like, okay. And he looks like it's just... He doesn't want to leave.
Oh, like he's got accustomed to the life in the wild. Yeah.
And then they bring out his wife.
Yeah.
And then she's like, hey, honey. He's like, oh. He scratches. He's like, hi, honey. And it's like.
Like he would forget he had a wife?
No, but he's just like, I guess he wasn't mentally prepared to leave yet.
Yeah.
And so he's just like, okay. And she comes to him and she's like, here's the check. And he's like, yeah, okay.
Wow.
Yeah. And it's just like. Whoa.
He's just like been so accustomed to living off of nothing. Yeah. Did money just mean nothing to him at that point?
That's what it looked like. He's like, sort of like, what are you gonna do? He's like, give it to my parents.
Huh.
Yeah. And he's like, and then we'll I don't know, pay off the rest of the house with whatever's left.
Hmm. That's really interesting.
Yeah. Like the competition really the people at the end, like, it really changes them. And, like, the reasons why they leave, like, they just... It's very surprising. It's super... It's inspiring, and it's, like, very... It's very interesting.
I wonder if in their head they're like, I could live off the land. Why am I in society? Like, I wonder if now... I want to see, like, a year later, like, go interview that wife. And, like, my husband left after the show. He's up north, and...
Yeah.
He's just in the forest somewhere. I don't know where he is. And, like...
Yeah, it's a pretty nuts show. It's cool. So now I'm watching season two. I'm halfway through that, and it's the difference with this one is they've included women.
Okay,
and so it's
interesting. So the show's worse.
No, it's interesting. It's interesting to see how like the women react when they're all by themselves.
Okay,
and like the things that they do differently and what their strengths are.
So I was having conversations over the weekend with my friends. Like coming at certain topics or situations from a guy's perspective versus a girl's perspective.
Mm-hmm.
Is it cool? Is it interesting to see Like, say I'm going to build a hut.
Yeah.
Is it interesting to see where a guy comes at it from than, say, where a girl comes at it from? Like, where they start, what their starting point is, or what their thought process is like?
You know, like, when it comes to, like, doing that sort of stuff, like, I think a lot of them are all survival experts, so they all know, like, same basic techniques.
Okay.
But the interesting thing is, like, what do they do to keep their mental spirits in check?
Oh, okay.
Like, whereas dudes will be like, I don't know. What do guys do? They hang around, they sing,
I don't know. To keep my mental health up, I usually try and work out.
So one guy's doing that.
Okay.
Whereas another girl, she's like, she's singing, she's picking flowers, making bouquets and stuff.
Yeah.
And like, even just like when they see animals, like, guys would be like, get out of here, bear. And the girl would be like, hi, bear. And it's just like, that's interesting. But no, it's...
And then that lady got eaten.
Yeah, it's a lot of small things that are different because, I mean, technically they're all doing the same thing to survive. There's like, they've all learned sort of similar techniques, but they have like small little differences between male and female that's interesting to watch. So that's that. The other show I finished was Voltron. Took me a bit to get through that.
Oh, like, the new season.
Yeah, I got through it. It's, it was a lot of fun to watch.
Okay. All right. Where's the butt?
I just don't think I get it.
What's not to get about a giant robot saving the universe?
That's my problem. Like, I'm not crazy over it. I don't think it's incredible. And like, for a second, I'm like, I know I'm a little dead inside, but do I really like not like cartoons? Is that my problem?
Oh no.
Yeah. And then
Vince, I gotta let you know on a little secret though. Do you know that anime is cartoons?
Exactly. So, I was like, no. I like them cartoons. I like them cartoons just fine. I really think that this show is severely lacking in the parts where it shouldn't be. Like, the most important parts, like the hard-driven story beats, they're not as interesting as I'd hoped them to be. And the giant robot stuff is awful.
You were saying that last time, just like, not even just the animation of stuff, but the way they utilize the robot is terrible.
Yeah, like, there's some cool ideas, but then the way they execute on it is just like, yeah, that's about right. That seems... Yeah, okay, sure. Like, there just doesn't seem there's any creativity. It's like they watched some other people do it, and they're like, we could do that, but we don't have quite the budget, but we could do that.
All right.
Yeah, and that's how it ends up, so... Yeah. Oh, and then at the end, it's like total Deus Ex Machina. It's like, oh, but there's secretly this other guy.
Oh, okay. They got to introduce the new villain.
Yeah. And it's like the last 5 seconds. It's like, call XXX.
To be fair, though, if I were 8,
yeah,
I would lose my mind.
No, I know. It's an homage to one of the original characters, but it's like, I just hate it when they do that. Like, okay. I wish they dropped hints of him throughout the series.
Yeah, that'd been cool.
Just so, like, you're aware, and it's not just like, oh, everyone's dead. Now call this guy!
Oh my gosh!
Yeah.
Okay.
So that's right. That. But I played a new game.
What'd you play?
Fire Emblem.
Heroes! You make fun of me for mobile games.
It's awful. It's awful.
What class did you roll as? Like, actually, you know what? Break it down from the get-go. How does this game work? Because I heard you roll a character when you start it.
Yeah.
Okay.
So you start it, you do your first map, and they introduce you to the basic gameplay mechanics. Okay. It's a grid-based strategy. But you know how, like, in, like, a DS1 or even in Disgaea, you can move around because the map is really huge?
Yeah.
The map is literally the size of your screen.
Oh, okay.
But they're big squares. So it's like a 12... It's like a... I don't know. 8x5 tile map.
Oh, man, that's nothing.
It's tiny. And they never change. The terrains never change.
Oh, wow.
Like, it's super basic. It's very basic. Okay. And all it is bring your team in here and fight the enemies. There's like... And it uses the Fire Emblem Triangle rock, paper, scissors thing of, you know, axe beats... What is axe? Axe beats sword, sword beats lance, lance beats axe.
Okay.
Things like that. And that's fine.
Where do archers come in the mix?
Archers are neutral. All
right.
But archers can attack from a range.
Okay.
So...
That's fair.
If an archer attacks, then you can't hit him. All right. But if you attack an archer, the archer can't retaliate. Yeah. So that's how that works.
All
right. And I gotta say, like, playing it, it's the best playing Fire Emblem, because, like, they've really nailed down the mechanics of just using your finger to drag across the screen and attacking. And it makes you feel like, god damn, I wish the DS was like this.
Okay.
Also, it's gorgeous to look at because they have like amazing high-res art. And then if you remember the 3DS, low-res screens, so it just doesn't look as nice.
Yeah.
The battles they've done are 2D. All
right.
Which I've always preferred over the current Fire Emblem 3D stuff, but they're all like chibi-fied.
Oh.
And they all have like one animation.
Okay.
So it's kind of shit.
That sounds like a mobile game.
Yeah. It's actually really disappointing. It looks stupid.
Okay.
But yeah, the whole point is like, so you do your first battle, you do that, and then like, oh, by the way, you are the chosen one, because with you, we give you this book, and now you can summon heroes from out of time. Or like different universes.
Oh. And so they give you the soul edge.
Yeah, so then now you can... every time you play, you get these orbs, and these orbs, you need a certain amount to use the summoning crystal, mm-hmm. or summoning book, and when you summon the book, you can roll characters.
Yeah.
And the characters come in different stars, like quality, 5-star is the best one, mm-hmm. and 1-star is the lowest. And they show you the odds, they're like, listen, 5-star roll is like a 3% chance, everything else is 40.
Okay.
So, and that's what you do. You just roll characters. The high 5-star characters just have better stats, and they have...
They're strictly better.
They're just better. Like, okay. There's no weakness. They're just better. All
right.
But all the popular characters are 5-star. So, okay. Like, I really wanted Lucina, so I just kept deleting and redownloading the game until I could roll Lucina.
So that's what I heard. Yeah. There's really no check or, like, no account system that's just is it on your phone? Is it new? Okay, cool. Roll a bunch of stuff.
And once you get the characters you want, I found that, like, I had no reason to play it anymore.
Oh.
Because I was like, I could level her up, or I could just say, hey, I got Lucina, I'm done. because, you could do the social aspect, you know, play with your friends, battle.
Yeah.
But guess what, Anthony?
What?
Nintendo.
There's no online play?
Oh, there is.
But?
There's a strict barrier.
Oh, what's your Wii friend code?
Exactly.
Oh my god.
There are friend codes on this fucking app.
Well then.
So it's just like, what's the point? And like, the story...
Like, there's no like ad through Facebook or anything?
No.
What?
Yeah.
That's like mobile game 101, link to Facebook.
And I'm scared now for the Switch's online app where they're like, oh, it's on your phone.
That was another thing that came out of Epic. Yeah. Nintendo revealed that it's going to be like $25 a year.
Yeah, which, you know, is cool.
Yeah.
It's cheap. Now I have less faith in their system.
True.
Yeah, but true. I mean... But yeah, so... And then Fire Emblem has this... Like, the Fire Emblem Heroes has a story, but it's like a basic mobile app story. So nothing really happens, right? Like, it's just...
Here's the mobile app exclusive character.
Yeah.
They're the biggest fan of all the other characters.
Uh-huh.
And we need to save the world.
Yep.
Man!
Or their world, actually.
Or their world.
Their world.
All right, guess what?
Yeah.
I haven't touched this game.
Yeah.
I'm a genius.
Yeah. So you got it, basically. And, like, other characters show up and they're like... Blah, 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 blah. We're gonna kill you. Oh, we respect you. Okay.
Or like, oh, you're the hero of legend. I've never thought I'd meet you in my life.
Yeah. Voice acting is pretty good, though.
Okay. Is it all in the Nihongo?
No, it's English. It's dubbed. And they brought back a lot of the characters from the dubbed or from the localized games. So.
Nice.
It's cool. Yeah, so I got Lucina, and I got my other favorite girl, Lin, from Fire Emblem 7.
Okay.
So, and then when I got those two, I was like, great.
Now well, then.
Now what? When you beat stuff and you level up your characters, it has that awful Fire Emblem thing where, like, randomized stats growth.
Oh.
So, even if you do get a 5-star character, you can still...
You still get a shitty 5-star character?
Yeah.
It's like, oh look, Lucina's all about
swords.
Yeah. My axe skill, though.
Yeah. Yeah. So, I mean... All it's done is made me, like, Vince, fucking delete this shit and finish Fire Emblem Fates. So... That's what I've slowly been doing.
Finally. So, like, everyone I talk to is like, Fire Emblem Fates, it's real, or this new Fire Emblem mobile game, it's super fun, blah, 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 right? Yeah. And I'm like, maybe I should download it. I don't know.
Yeah.
Thank you for being the opposite. Now I don't have to worry about it.
I mean, I am not the type of person, though, like, I don't get easily addicted to mobile games. So
have you tried Tab Titans 2?
Yes.
No, you have not.
I did, and I deleted it.
You should play Tab Titans 2. No. Join my clan.
No, thank you. No, thank you. No, thank you. But yeah, that was it for my week.
Okay. I had a pretty compact week, too. I've been playing more Yakuza.
Mm.
I think I'm almost done. I'm on, like, chapter 13 of 17, I believe. So I'm gunning through it. It's really awesome.
And?
Everyone should play Yakuza.
Okay. I heard it's good.
But the new stuff of my week is I finished Shovel Knight, finally. I finished it after last week's recording.
Yeah.
That game is awesome.
Is it?
That game is I can understand why it has been in the limelight for so long. Like, a game that came out in 2015 is still, like, still gets word of mouth.
I see.
That game is really awesome. Everything about it is just, like, it's an ode to old platformers, like, a la Mega Man and all that kind of stuff. And they hit all of their, like, their homage points to a T, but also they have their own unique twists on everything.
Honestly.
And, like, how you play the game, right? Because you're using a shovel, you can do some really interesting stuff with the shovels, or you can get different armor sets, which give your Shovel Knight different characteristics.
Right.
Right? And just the stuff they do even with, like, the overworld map, right? It's like a Super Mario 3, Super Mario World-style overworld map. But then there's also, like, extra challenges. There's, like, maybe the equivalent of, like, a Hammer Bro going across the thing. And if you can attack them and then do a bonus level, right? Where a bonus boss is happening.
Okay.
Even down to the final boss of, like, in Mega Man, you always expect the boss rush, right? And the way they do the boss rush in Shovel Knight is, like, is really... I don't want to say fresh, but it's something so simple, but yet I never saw it coming.
Okay.
Right? I just expected, like, here's a bunch of teleporters. It's going to take you back to that boss room, and you're going to fight the boss again.
Like in Mega Man?
Like in Mega Man. But they do something completely different, and it's awesome.
Okay.
Yeah, highly recommended. And the thing that surprised me the most was after I beat it, it unlocked a whole separate campaign.
Oh,
the campaign of one of the knights that who's the villain is Plague Knight. Plague Knight is known. He runs the Explodatorium, I believe it's called.
Yes,
and he makes different potions with alchemy, and he blows things up. That's his whole deal. And so you're going through all the Shovel Knight levels as this guy is Plague Knight, and the style of gameplay is drastically different. He's not using a shovel, he's not using melee weapons, he's using alchemy concoctions.
Yeah.
He jumps very, not very high, and he walks pretty slow. But the thing is that he can blow himself up to reach higher levels or travel farther distances. And if you time it right, you can, like, get really good explosion jumps happening where you're, like, not touching the ground for the whole screen and stuff. And it plays more as off of magic. And then even when you get to, say, the first town is, like, when you get to the first town of Shovel Knight, there's a guard at the front, and he says, hey, no weapons in the town. Oh, it's a shovel. That's not a weapon. Get in there. You can do whatever you want, right? But when you show up as Plague Knight, he's known for being evil. So the guy's like, listen, you can't come in here. Do what you got to do. Like, just leave. Like, you can't come in. And if you try and go, and he's like, no, pushes you out of the town. And it turns out a girl who ran, like, a mini game, who was, like, kind of secretly hidden away, is also a friend of Plague Knight. So your home city is in that same town, but underground and, like, in the sewer systems, right? And it's, like, where all the villains hang out underneath the...
So it shows you, like, a new area.
Yeah, it shows you, like, a new area or a new part of that town that you didn't know existed before.
Interesting.
Right? And the whole thing of for Plague Knight is that you're trying to collect the essence of all the other knights and make the ultimate potion. I think it's for immortality or, like, the ultimate explosion, something along those lines.
The ultimate explosion?
Yeah.
Wow. Lofty goals.
Right? And in his story, he's willing to betray the Enchantress, who is the main villain of the Shovel Knight story, to achieve this goal of his.
Ah.
Right. So you're going through all of the Plague Knight, or the Shovel Knight levels, as Plague Knight, which changes up, even though it's the same terrain, it changes up how you tackle almost anything. Because he plays so much differently. Mm-hmm. And then also they've added extra bonus areas that only Plague Knight players can go to.
Ah.
And, like, challenge areas. So it that game's awesome. It presented me with, like a 9 out of 10 platformer, and then gave me another one.
Nice.
So I don't know if the Plague Knight one is as free long? On everything.
Oh, okay.
Because I know this game's been out for a while. I don't know if just because I have the Vita version, it just gave me it.
This one's on PS4, right?
Yeah, it's on PS4.
I might think about
that. It's on everything.
Yeah, I think I might do that one.
I've learned that I just want to have
a portable game?
I want to play platformers on the go.
Oh, really?
Yeah, when I want to play something more substantial, I'd rather have it on a TV.
Interesting.
Yeah, so I just purchased...
That's so weird coming from you.
Yeah, right? I just purchased Shantae Half Genie Hero.
Yeah.
Which they've been told that those are great platformers.
Yeah.
And I bought the Vita version.
Wow.
Because I think I'd rather play a platformer on the go.
So weird.
Why?
I don't know. Like, I think of platformers as, like, harkening back to, like, 16-bit, 8-bit era on the Nintendo. And you're like, and I know you would love to have that stuff, like, on a TV.
Yeah.
Right? And then, so when you talk about modern platforms that are trying to emulate that stuff, it's just weird that...
Yeah, I guess if you put it that way.
Yeah.
I guess it's when they're trying to emulate the old stuff, I'd rather play it on the go.
Okay.
Like, so Super Mario 3D World for the Wii U,
yeah,
that's fantastic platformer. But they're doing a lot of new stuff in that, and the fact that it's 3D, that I think I'd rather have that on a TV.
Okay.
Right? Like a sit-down thing. But, like, I like just having the platformer of, like, oh, this is supposed to be old-school style 2D platformer. I can turn it on and off whenever I want.
Yeah.
I can pause in the middle of a level, go do something, come back.
I see.
Yeah. It's just fun. It's really fun.
Cool.
And then the newest thing I did this week, and I subjected
I subjected
you to it as well.
Okay.
Is a TV show I just discovered thanks to a friend.
Your best friend?
Oh, one of my best friends. it is called, I don't know what it's officially called in Japanese.
Tell me.
But if you search for it on YouTube, it's called Hand Job Karaoke.
I bet that's just what it's called.
Oh, I bet too. I hope so. The show is exactly what it sounds like.
What does it sound like?
It sounds like someone's getting a hand job while they're doing karaoke.
Okay.
Right? So I assume it's a late night television show. In true Japanese fashion, there's a panel.
Yeah, the panel watching.
People watching. So you're not only watching the show, but watching the reactions to people watching the show.
Yeah.
And what the show is all about is getting people, random dudes, and who say they have good karaoke talent. And they have to complete a challenge.
Mm-hmm.
And that challenge is to get a 90 or higher on a karaoke song of their choice.
Yeah.
So they can pick their best one. But the catch is, they are receiving a hand job by a porn star.
Wow.
And it is hilarious, this show.
Mm-hmm.
Just to watch, like, the reactions on their face of contestants.
Their O face.
Looking at their O face, right? Or just like them trying to hold it. Yeah. Just like, I can't, like, they're singing a song, their reaction's like, oh, right? They'll just cut in the middle of a lyric.
Yeah.
It's hilarious. There is a YouTube channel that has a bunch of, like, clips from it. I believe it is called, it's 35 OP is the YouTube channel. 35 space OP. And they have a lot of subbed episodes. Or sub clips from episodes. And they go from, the contestants go from regular nerds to people who are in long-term relationships, yeah, to virgins, yeah, to hosts.
I felt so sorry for that guy.
Right? It's a great show. You could never get away with something like that here, but it's...
I can't believe Japan got away
with it. I can't believe Japan got away with it, right?
Yeah.
And just so you know, like, it's not explicit. You're not going to see a penis.
Yeah, yeah. So the setup is like there's two of them are sitting there, but yeah, they're sitting inside like a curtain.
Or
so
they're standing behind a waist high curtain.
Yeah, and so you only get to see their bodies from
torso up.
But the weird thing is there's just like, it's just a bare floor.
Yeah.
So when the deed is done, it's just
on the floor.
Yeah.
Right?
And that part's a bit like,
like they'll show it.
Yeah.
It's like he finished, but it'll be super blurred out. And yeah, you'll see a couple of white blurs, and you'll be like, oh man, he finished. Like, yeah, he did it.
Uh-huh.
The other shot they do is like a behind the curtain thing. So you'll see like the girl's hand doing the motion,
yeah,
but you'll never see a penis. And they cover the butt crack with, like, a picture of the contestant's face.
Yeah.
Right?
It's fucking scary when you think about it.
Still don't recommend anyone, like, under 18 watch this.
Oh, this is totally not safe for work.
Yeah, 100%. Don't watch it at work. This is not like, hey, Jane over in HR, how's it going?
But let's just say when you watch this, you're not going to be feeling, like, frisky.
Yeah.
It's with the thing you watch and be like, oh my god, that's hilarious.
It's so funny. Yeah. It's a great show. It's really good. And I guess I'll mention it. The other show, another friend recommended to me, is called, it's a Korean show called The Human Condition. And what they do, or I've only watched one series of it, is they'll have kind of like B-level Korean celebrities take on a different challenge, and they have to live with this challenge for a couple days.
Whew.
So the one I watched was living on a low sodium diet.
Yeah.
And that Koreans apparently have one of the highest average sodium intakes of any culture in the world. And it happens to do with like all their types of food, like all their side dishes, kimchi, their love for soups and stuff like that. Yeah. And they take these comedians, they get them to do a urine test, a whole body test.
Yeah.
And they're like, hey, you're either under or over the daily recommended and or average Korean person consumption of sodium.
Yeah.
And we want you as a challenge to live for a whole week on a low sodium diet.
Huh.
And it's their challenges. And there's like some people in there who just like all they do is eat salt. Like there was a couple people who had like four times the recommended amount of sodium in their body.
Yeah.
Right?
It's a lot of sodium. A
lot of sodium. And they also should tell you like the health risks of sodium, just stomach cancer.
Yeah, you get osteoporosis.
Yeah. Brain hemorrhaging and stuff like that.
Makes sense.
It's really interesting because it's both comedic because they have all these kind of entertaining people doing it, but also it's really informative because they have professionals in their field telling you, hey, this is what it is. I don't know if their other episodes are kind of to the same extent like that in study, but this low sodium one is a recommended watch. I think there's three episodes for the low sodium one, and they're about an hour each. Mm. They're actually all on YouTube. So the show's called The Human Condition. You can probably just Google Human Condition Low Sodium, and it'll give you the episodes.
Mm-hmm.
And all the episodes are subbed. So
yeah, that's interesting.
Yeah, it's a cool little thing. I didn't know that Korean culture had the most, like, kind of the most salty foods.
I didn't realize it was most salty, but right?
It's really interesting, like, seeing them to find alternatives to make, like, oh, I love dipping it in, like, this, my food in this sort of gravy or whatever, right?
It is Korean food, right? Where they dip meat in, like a salt type dip.
I think
it's like a grainy, it's like a fine brown.
I think so. I think that's
Korean. Yeah, that's Korean, right? Yeah. That stuff's delicious.
Right? But it's salt. It's just salt on top of salt with some more salt.
Yeah, it's just straight salt. Because it's like, I think they only do it with like pork or something, right? Yeah. Like really salt, like salty pork.
And like seeing like, man.
So good.
And coming from an Italian culture, like a lot of problems in Italian diets is carbs.
Oh yeah,
like,
for sure.
Italian diet is just carbs, 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 tomatoes, more carbs.
Yeah.
Right? And too much Parmesan.
A lot of dairy, a lot of cream.
Yeah, a lot of dairy, a lot of cream. And it's because, like, in my mind, it's like, it's not that hard to not intake sodium, right? Because of my diet. Yes. But when you come at it from a different culture's perspective, it's like, damn, that's all sodium.
Yeah, it's
tough. And, like, having eaten that stuff, it's like, that's super delicious. And I understand if you lived that life.
Your whole life, yeah.
Yeah, it would be hard. Right? Just like it'd be hard for me to, like, Anthony, cut down on carbs. Go away. I'm going to finish my lasagna.
Yeah.
Get out of here.
Yeah.
Right? So it's pretty cool. It's a pretty cool show.
Yeah.
I like it. At least for that one episode. Mm-hmm. I haven't watched any more.
Uh-huh.
But that's been my week. That's been the newest stuff. The newest hotness.
Hmm. Cool. Well, that is a show. No Kamen Rider this week because it wasn't out.
So, again, it wasn't out.
Yeah, so it looks like we're waiting for a two-parter next week.
All right.
What happened recently
on that show? Level 50.
Paradox.
Paradox. And he got DX, and he got the puzzle. He got Bubble Bobble. Or no, sorry. He got he got Bejeweled.
Yeah.
He got Power-Up Bejeweled.
Yeah.
And he got Street Fighter.
No, he got Punch-Out.
Or Punch-Out. He got Punch-Out, yeah.
He got Punch-Out. So that was interesting.
They're like, hey, I'm level 10. Oh, these two people could be level 20. Oh, it doesn't matter. I'm level 50.
Yeah, I can't remember. Wait, does M know he's a demon?
I don't think so. I don't think M knows, but I think
everyone else knows. They want to kill him.
Yeah, they wanted to kill him. I don't know if he knows the full extent of his plight yet.
Oh yeah, they showed off like he was a kid.
And he got experimented on, and then he was a teenager.
Yeah,
and got it again.
And he was the original. Game virus.
Yeah, he was patient zero.
Yeah, so yeah, cool. There you go. There's your quick catch up if you needed to catch up, guys.
There you go. Or you just go watch it because that show's great.
Yeah. And before we go, I didn't notice this, but Anthony, today you are looking very Canadian.
Why?
You've got red flannel on.
Oh, I do.
And you've got this full beard.
Yeah. It's
the middle of winter. You are looking hella patriotic today.
I just came back from drinking some maple syrup.
Oh, God.
Rolled over here on my polar bear.
So I gotta know, do you just, like, do you buy the Aunt Jemima, or do you go to the forest and you just hammer into a tree?
Oh, you gotta go all au natural.
Oh, okay.
If you're not getting it fresh from the sap, I don't understand what you're doing, right? Yeah. Or, alternative, buy it in a maple leaf bottle.
Ah, yes.
Right? Yeah. That's how you know.
I know a lot of people buy alcohol that way.
What?
Yeah.
Like in a Canadian flag bottle?
Yeah.
Huh.
Hey, go to the LCBO. I think you can find one.
All right.
Actually, that just reminds me, I guess, because growing up here in Canada, one of the things you do on a school trip is you do go to, like, an apple farm.
Yeah.
And
those trips are awesome.
And you do go to, like, a maple tree and you drink the sap.
And you can collect sap and stuff. Yeah, it's awesome.
And it just reminds me, like, do you guys do that in other countries?
Like, what's your country-specific field trip?
Yeah, like, in America, do you guys do that? Like, those of you close to the Canadian border, do you guys do that?
Or, like, do you guys in Ohio, do you just, like, we going to the corn farm.
Oh, that's true. Corn. Right? Yeah, because here, I just remember, like, I have all these memories of, yeah, we just drill into this tree.
Middle
here.
Of winter.
Yeah.
Snow up to your knees as a
yeah,
kid.
Yeah, they just fucking drill a faucet into a tree.
And it's like the hand crank, right?
Yeah.
It's the hand crank.
Yeah. And then they just turn on and say, all right, collect your sap.
Collect your sap. And you get to keep sap, right?
And it's just like, wow.
Pick up maple leaves off the ground. You can keep them in, like, a book and stuff. Yeah, those are great field trips.
Welcome to Canada. And with that, it's a good place to end the episode. Thanks for listening, everyone. We will see you next week.
See you later.